All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning. We're getting started right on time at 9 o'clock in our Bible study this morning. I want you to remember a fellow that was a member of our church for a long time, now lives in Lexington, Kentucky. His name is David Rose, and he has fourth stage cancer. And so remember David and his wife Chantel and their girls. Remember, you can't hear me? Are I not loud enough? Huh? Move it up. Bring it down just a little bit. All right, just a second. How's that? Is that about right? Can you hear me now? Sound like a Verizon commercial. Remember David in your prayers and that family as well. Remember them in your prayers, please. As well as many others that are hurting now, that are sick, and those that are injured. My sister, my wife, of course the Goss family. Remember them in your prayers as they lost Dwayne, and his funeral was Monday. So remember that family in your prayers as well. Debbie, remember her. Mike Hicks, Celeste Goins, Delisa Bunning, Joyce Barnhill, remember them in your prayers as well. Lloyd Austin had some kind of problems, was taken to the hospital this week, so remember Lloyd in your prayers as well. There's a lot of folks that have the flu right now that are ill. I know Wanda Paris has the flu and pneumonia, and she's in Lourdes Hospital. And so remember her in your prayers. My granddaughter has an ear infection. Her ear's been stopped up for too long. Next phase is a drill. I think I can open it up. And so I used to be able to look, turn her head just right. I can see daylight through there, but you can't right now. And so she needs help too. All right, well, let's go, Lord, in prayer together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for the honor and the opportunity to come into the Lord's house on the Lord's day. We lift up all these in prayer to you and pray, Lord, that your perfect will might be done. We pray for their highest good and for your glory. We pray, Lord, you might bless as we study your word together, that I might speak with clarity, and Lord, that we might have an understanding of the great truths of the scripture and know you even better than we have before. Father, bless these we've mentioned this morning, for they are many. Be with our, not only our Bible study now, but with a worship service to follow. Bless Brother Nate and Aaron as they lead us in worship and in the Word of God. I pray that you'll bless those that are watching online, and Lord, that you'll be with these that are here in the auditorium as well. Thank you again for Jesus, the life we have in him, the good things you give us each day. We ask it all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Well, I hesitate to do this, but I'm going to anyway. I know we've been going through this, and it's been several sessions now. And we started out in the book of Ezekiel in the 37th chapter in the Valley of Dry Bones. And so, what have you learned since we started this part of the study? And have you grasped where we're trying to get to and what we're trying to see as we go through this and we study about this? Now, this is a lot, I know. But what I'm wanting to get you to grasp is why we're doing this. If there's no purpose in what you're doing, why are you doing it? And so there is a purpose behind the scriptures I'm taking you through, the individuals that I'm bringing before you in the scripture, the reasons, the decisions that have to be made. And it all, we all started here with the Valley of Dry Bones. We first saw the vision, then we saw the problem, then we saw the judgment that came. And anybody got, I know this is difficult because this has been spread out over several sessions, but can you see, begin to see a pattern of where we're trying to get to and what we're looking at here as we go through the scriptures? Because I want to put it all together where you can get a clear vision of what it's all about and what it's for. Anybody got a hint? Debbie?
Well, I don't know what you're looking for, but we have a sovereign Lord, and there's nothing he can't do. He can bring dry bones back to life.
Okay, that's very good. We have a sovereign Lord, and there's nothing he can't do. He can bring dry bones back to life. Anything else? Sherry?
Well, I don't know if this is where you're going, but in my study, I've always found it to be talking of the restoration of Israel, but also the restoring of us as Christians.
Amen.
The restoration died, and the nation of Israel was to be restored in 1948. So that's where I believe.
Okay, very good. That's two parts. The sovereignty of God, His ability to do anything. And we, as we go through it, of course, this is, when you look at Ezekiel and you look at chapter 37, you look at the Valley of Dry Bones, we're looking at a, not just a vision, but a promise that God is making to Israel. And this is important. Because as we go on, and as Sherry mentioned, what we're looking at, what I want you to be able to grasp and to see and to understand, when we look at this, this is one of the darkest periods in the life of the nation of Israel. And you're going to have valleys in your life. You're going to have dark times in your life. You're going to have things that you are really going to struggle with because of the world you live in. This is true. This is a fact. I was talking to a lady this week, and I'm trying to establish a way to visit her husband who's in bad health. And when I got to her house, he wasn't home, she was, and neither one of them, I think, are saved. And I told her, I said, I'm concerned about you and your husband. I told her, I said, do you realize, do you understand, do you grasp that one day we're all going to die? We are all going to die. And my concern is, what is going to happen to you when you die? And I said, I don't want to force anything on you, but I care for you, and I would like to have an opportunity to explain to you why there's hope for you. And that was the extent of my visit until I go back again and hopefully catch the gentleman home. But we will go through, if you live in denial, you'll never get to where God wants you to be. You must accept the truth, and that is you're going to have, and I'm not trying to be the Mr. Doom here, but you are going to have difficult times in your life. You're going to face things you don't want to face. I mean, this is a world we live in. We are a fallen people living in a fallen society, in a fallen world that is never going to get better. It's going to get worse. It is going, but there is a sovereign God that has a plan in all of this, and he loves you very much, and he gave his son for you, and there is victory in Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, the best is yet to come. And so we want to look forward to that hope, knowing it is true, but also we want to know, how can we handle the circumstances that we're in today? Sherry mentioned restoration. We have to go through that in our life because we get knocked down. You have to understand this. We get knocked down. This world is a tough place to live. And if you haven't figured this out yet, it doesn't get easier as you get older. If you haven't quite figured that out yet, you haven't got old enough yet. Okay? So you will figure this out, that it doesn't get easier. But you can get closer to God, and you can, as the outside diminishes, the inside can replenish and grow and restore. And that's where I'm trying to get you to. That's what I want you to see. And the promises of God and the power of God and the person of God. That's what I want to get you to. So, hopefully, together, we will arrive there. Amen? All right. So, I'm going to very quickly give you an overview. First of all, we saw the vision. The vision was chapter 37. It was Ezekiel. It was the Valley of Dry Bones. It was a prophecy that God was giving to Ezekiel, a vision that he had, that he would restore Israel one day, that they would begin being their land, and he would fulfill his promise to them after 70 years of captivity. And so that was the judgment. 70 years of captivity, that they would go in with the Babylonian and the Chaldeans, but he would bring them out. He's showing them that they will not only survive, but they will thrive once again, even as he can make these dry bones live. That was the vision that God gave Ezekiel when we looked at it. What was the problem? We saw that in Ezekiel, we saw it in Jeremiah. They were going through the motions. They were still going to the temple. They were still making sacrifices. But they had filled their lives with all this other idolatrous stuff. So they had distanced themselves from God, the one true God. And they had filled their lives with things that could not satisfy nor help, that were actually keeping God from the rightful place in their life. Do you ever do that? Do you ever have things in your life that keep you from having God in the rightful place in your life? Yes, you do sometimes. Yes, I do sometimes. So we see that we're not much different than Israel. And so we see the vision, we see the problem, and we saw the judgment. Well, what happened in the judgment? They had loss. And now we're looking at what was necessary for restoration. What was necessary for this promise to come through? What was necessary for these dry bones to live? What is necessary for me in my life when I have distanced myself from God because I let other things come into my life that take the place of God's rightful place in my life, and I have not got the right priorities in my life the way that it ought to be. Therefore, there is a distance between me and God that should not be there. And when that distance happens, I lose fellowship with God. I don't lose relationship, but I lose fellowship with God. And I will not be able to handle those valleys that I go through, those dark places that I go to, without that being restored. Are you with me? Well, good. All right, now then, there's some statements I really want you to get. First of all, when disobedience leads to distance from God, when disobedience leads to distance from God, and it does. When disobedience leads to distance from God, only His divine word can help us. Only His divine word. Now then, another thing. The word alone, apart from the Spirit, cannot bring us where we need to be. So as we looked at the valley of dry bones, what did we see? For he saw him God tell him to prophesy the word. What else did he say? He said, prophesy to the Spirit. The Spirit. So it took the word of God and the Spirit of God to bring restoration to those bones. Same thing is true for you. Same thing is true for me. As I go through my life and I go through those dark places, hard places in my life, what is it that I can nail to the wall, that I can hang on to, that will get me through where I need to be, that I haven't let my priorities slip and I haven't let other things become my priority in life that would cause me to be distanced from God? It is the Word of God led by the Spirit of God. That is what is necessary to get me where I need to be and keep me where I need to be. This is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to grasp. I want you to get this. All right? Now, the next thing I want to say is God's will for us. God's will for us is that we be empowered by His Spirit and led by His Word. We be empowered by His Spirit and led by His Word. You cannot understand the Word apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, Jesus said, when the Paraclete comes, He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things about Me. And so you cannot get to where you need to be apart from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And let me say this to you. By the time we get through this, I want you to understand, when we look back at these people in the Old Testament, we looked at Ezekiel, we'll look at Zacchaeus, we'll look at Moses. God still speaks to you today. I want you to be able to grasp that and to see that. I know that in my own life. I experience that in my own life. I want you to know that. I want you to experience that in your own life. I want you to understand that God hasn't changed. He never has. He never will. And God speaks to you today. He not only knows every hair on your head, He knows every problem you have, He knows every difficulty you go through, and He has a plan for your life. And He cares about you. So He will speak to you. The thing is, you cannot distance yourself from Him by getting your priorities wrong in your life. You have to be led by the Word of God and the Spirit of God to be in tune with God where He can speak to you. Are you with me? Okay, so that's what we're looking at. Well, why is it so important that we be empowered by His Spirit and led by His Word? So that we will be enabled to live a supernatural life in a natural world. That's the only way anybody will ever see Christ in you. That's the only way anybody will ever see Christ in me. If my life doesn't show a supernatural work of Christ in me, then why am I here? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And so, all right. Now then, we're going to the book of Luke, chapter 19. And we're going to look at a fellow that might have been my height. His name was Zacchaeus. He was a fellow, the Bible says, not of great stature. He was of short stature. And we're going to look at this fellow, Zacchaeus. He'll be a very important example for us And if we have that distance from God, need to be led by Spirit and Word, how do we flip the page? How do we get to where we need to be? Okay? Well, Zacchaeus is a good example of that. You might think, well, what the devil Zacchaeus got to do with this? Well, I hope we see. Remember last session we had, when was that? Last Sunday morning. Okay. Last Sunday morning, I asked you this question. Have you ever been hungry? And probably most of us really haven't. We haven't been desperately hungry. There are people in our world today that are desperately hungry. To get your priorities to where they need to be, and to get things moved out of your life that are a priority, that are hindering God working in your life, you've got to get desperate. This is what you got to see. You got to get desperate. So we're going to look at this guy, Zacchaeus. What was Zacchaeus? Well, it tells us right off the bat. He said, Jesus entered through Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there, chapter 19 of Luke, if you're there, a man was there in the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. All right. What do we know about tax collectors in that day? They were hated, and rightfully so. What does it say? He was a tax collector and he was wealthy. All right. Do you know why the tax collectors was wealthy? Because they not only collected the taxes that were due Rome, but they added a percentage to it for themselves. So they not only collected the rightful taxes, but they went above and beyond what the taxes were supposed to be and collected a greater sum than was due. And the Jews knew this. Everybody knew this. Everybody knew this. Everybody hated, I mean absolutely hated, the IRS in that day of Rome. And so here we got a guy, his name is Zacchaeus. Everybody hates him. Everybody hates him. That's just fact. Everybody hates him. He's got a job and he has worked that job, and they just assumed he was dead. That's about the truth of it. All right, now let's see what it says. Verse 3, look at this. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, what is it that it didn't say? It didn't say he wanted to see Jesus. He didn't just want to see Jesus, did he? He wanted to see who Jesus was. Now you got to understand, Jesus has been working miracles, and the news is traveling. They've heard about it. So these people, as Jesus comes down the road, it's like the protests we got going on in the United States today. There's people lining the road on both sides, you know. They want to see Jesus because of his miracles. They do not want to see who Jesus is. There's one man there that wants to see who Jesus is. That's what it said right here. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. So now, here we got the crowd. Here we got the crowd. They're lying both sides of the road. Zacchaeus short. He can't see over them. He knows this. I must see who Jesus is. So what does he do? There's a tree there. There's a sycamore tree. That's not there by accident. Sycamore tree's not there by accident. Sovereign God, right, Debbie? That tree's not there by accident. So what does Zacchaeus do? He climbs up in the sycamore tree with all these people lined up all around. Now, if you were a tax collector and everybody hated you, the one thing you wouldn't want to do is stand out in a crowd of people that hated you. He don't care. What is his main priority? I want to know who Jesus is. I want to know who Jesus is. I'll climb a sycamore tree if I have to. I don't care if they throw rocks at me. I don't care if they try to pull me down. I don't care if everybody sees me and start cursing me and shouting angry words at me. I'm going to climb this tree and I am going to see who Jesus is. You get the picture? This is what's going on here now. All right. Being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead. This man's desperate, isn't he? He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him since Jesus was coming that day. Now, the sovereignty and the sovereign plan of God. There was hundreds of people there that day. And Jesus did not stop for a single one of them. Do you know why he didn't stop for a single one of them except Zacchaeus? Because they were just Jesus fans. They weren't Jesus seekers. They could care less who he was. They just wanted to see miracles he'd done. It's like you going to a ball game. You're just a fan. Zacchaeus is desperate. He's desperate to see who Jesus is. So he runs ahead of the crowd, climbs a sycamore tree. And when Jesus gets to that spot, he does what? He stops. Hundreds of people, both sides of the road, hundreds of people all around. He never stopped. He gets to this sycamore tree. He stops. Why does he stop? He stops because he knows there's someone there that isn't just a fan. He is desperately hungering to know who Jesus is. Now, this is really important. He's hungry. He's desperate to know who Jesus is. His whole life, he's wealthy. He's hated. His life has been a waste. He knows he's hated. He doesn't have peace. He doesn't have joy. He doesn't have happiness. Everywhere he goes, people hate him. And so he's desperate to see who Jesus is. So he climbs this sycamore tree, and when the Son of God gets to that tree, he stops. God came to you one day, didn't he? You might not have been up a sycamore tree, but wherever you were, God came there to you. And he stopped. To get to where I need to be in my Christian life, I have to be like Zacchaeus. And we're going to find out why here in just a minute. But I have to be desperate to know who Jesus really is. Got me? Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, how did he know his name? He didn't say, hey you, what are you doing up that tree? Yeah, he knew exactly who he was. And he knew why he's up that tree. He knew he was desperate to see him. Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus? Sherry? Don? Gary? Kathy? Jack? Taylor? He knew your name. He knows you. He knew you before you knew him. And it's only when you got desperate to know who he is, that he came to the spot where you were. Zacchaeus, he said, When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I must stay at your house today. God's got a plan, don't he? Huh? Walked by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, stopped here at this one place, called this man by name, said, I'm coming to your house. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. That dirty, rotten tax collector. What in the world is he having to do with that filth? What is he having to do with that shyster? That guy that's robbed us of all our money? That wealthy son of a gun? What in the world is Jesus going to do with him? Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord. Look at this. Look. What does he say? Lord. I think he's figured out who Jesus is, don't you? Lord. Look. Lord. Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I had cheated anybody of anything, I will pay back four times over. You think this man's life changed when he's coming down out of that sycamore tree? He was absolutely saved. I say every limb he climbed down, he was closer to Jesus. You see, when a real change of heart comes, a real change of mind comes, and a real change of action comes. And that happened right here with Zacchaeus. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, verse 9, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Not the fans by the roadside. No. They didn't care who Jesus was. They just wanted to see a miracle. Here's a man that came to see who Jesus was, and he was desperate. He climbed a tree to see Jesus. He didn't care who saw him. He didn't care what they said. He didn't care what happened. He was going to know who Jesus was. Now let's apply that to our life today. You see, this is my main goal. This is my main goal in life. Not to be a Jesus fan, but to know who Jesus is. And when you start forgetting who Jesus is, and you become a fan, you've distanced yourself from God. And there's only two things that can get you back where you need to be, the Word and the Spirit. Now let me look at my notes, because I got some other stuff I want to say. Concerning Zacchaeus, his need overcame his concern about what others thought of him. His need overcame his concern. You see, that has to happen. That has to happen. My wife is constantly on to me. I don't know why, because I don't know a more perfect man she could have married anywhere. But she always asks me every day before I come to church, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? And I'll tell her what I'm wearing. You've got to look nice. I said, that's past looking nice. I'm looking old. You know what I mean. I have gotten past what you think about what I wear, and I am more concerned about who Christ is in me and that you see that than I am what I'm wearing. If I could find them, I'd probably buy them and wear them. I would wear white shoes in the winter. Just for that purpose. I know that'd really be a sin, but all right. Listen to this. Hunger for Jesus and pride of self are always at war within us. Are you with me? Hunger for Jesus and pride of self, because self is going to tell you every day of your life you don't need him that bad. Pride's going to tell you you can do it. Pride's going to tell you you don't need him. That's why God hates pride. The pride of life is a terrible thing. Let me tell you something, and we'll get to this in a minute, because my next heartbeat isn't coming because it's coming because of Jesus. What health I have is not because I've taken extra good care of myself and I have wonderful doctors. It's because I have a God that has blessed me with health. My next heartbeat. My next day, my next meeting. My next bill I pay. Are you with me? That brings me to this point. First point. As we get back, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you desperate to know who Jesus is? To walk with him. To walk with him. And we're going to look at Moses here in a minute. That brings us to this next question. Are you asking? Are you praying? Are you asking? Are you asking Jesus to fill you with his Spirit? Are you asking Jesus to reveal more of himself to you? Are you asking? Now listen, that brings us to this. And you write this down. And if you're like me, if you don't, you'll never remember it. You might till you get out of church, but that'd be about it. Listen. You will never discover that God is all you need. You will never discover that God is all you need until you realize he's all you have. I'm going to say it again. You will never discover that God is all you need until you realize He is all you have. Now we'll get a little personal now. I'm going through a different season in my life now. We go through seasons in our life. As we go through life, I mean, that's just the way it is. We go through seasons of my life. Right now, I'm praying about retiring as pastor. I've been doing this for 49 years. Does that mean I'm going to quit ministry? No. I'll do that till I die. But it means that I'm thinking about, I'm entering into a new season of my life. So I've got to figure out how am I going to no longer pastor, so I won't draw a salary, so can I live on my retirement? I've got a sister that's going blind. She is able to walk better now, but she's in pain every day. I've got a wife that is able to function. She's in pain every day. It's not going to get better. I've got all this going on in my life. I've got to be able to help them. I've got to be able to continue to serve the Lord as I can. And so I've got to do what's best for them. I've got to do what's best for our family. And I've got to do what the Lord wants me to do. So I've got all those decisions to make. Got all those decisions to make. Well, how do I make all those decisions? Well, that's what we're going to learn about as we go through this, because you've got decisions to make, don't you? And if you hadn't got there yet, you will. You'll go through seasons in your life. That's just the way it is. That's just the way. I'm not 50 years old anymore, if you hadn't noticed. It seems it's like only yesterday I walked to a little white church building on the other side of the road, and we had a homecoming, and food was on a wagon that was sitting out in the yard, and we sat on the ground in yard chairs and had homecoming and ate together. We had no building with a family life center. We had nothing of the modern conveniences we had today. We were together. And that seemed like only yesterday, and I was 33 years old. Now, in the blink of an eye, I'm 81 years old. And if you hadn't figured that out yet, that's how fast it goes. So you have seasons you go through in your life. So what's the most important thing you have to figure out? I just told you. You will never discover that God is all you need until you realize He's all you have. So what does that mean? That means it really doesn't matter what season I'm going through in life, as long as I keep remembering that God is all I need, because He truly is all I have. Not your bank account, not your car you drive, not your home, not even your job. You can lose all that. The only thing you have is the Lord. And the quicker you figure that out, the better you are. Are you with me? Okay. And then I say this, then you won't be saying cute little prayers. You will cry out and plead with God, because now in your desperation, you know He is all you have. And you get real personal. Uh-huh. It's not now I lay me down to sleep, now I give my soul to keep. That's not why we pray now. God, if you don't show me what to do, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go from here. I've never been here before. This is different. This is a new season of my life. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what you've got planned next. God, you're all I need, and I know you're all I have. I need you. I'm like Zacchaeus. I'll climb that tree. I don't care what people think. I'll climb that tree. I don't care if they like it or they don't like it, because I need you, Lord. That's where you come to, my brothers and sisters. That's where you come to. So now, if you're here tonight, we're going to look at Moses. We looked at Zacchaeus. Now here tonight, we're going to look at Moses, because he was going through an incredible, difficult time in his life. And we'll look at that tonight, okay? Are you with me? Are you seeing where we're going? What's going on here? I want to have clarity, because I love you. And I know how hard some things are in my life. And I know how hard some things are in your life. And I care about you. You must know that. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into the Lord's house on the Lord's Day and to share your word. What a great, almighty, awesome God you truly are. And no matter what season of life we're going through and difficulties, Lord, the truth is, when we bring it all down, you're all we have, but you also are all we need. So help us to be desperate for you, not afraid of what other people might think, but concerned to really know who you really are. And Lord, to give ourselves to you in such a way that you can live through us every season of our life. Bless the worship time to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.